Okay, today's daf is Brachos Daf Mem. We left off on Daf Lamed Tesson base, 7 lines from the end of the page at Amar Rabbi Abba. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer. In honor of his wife and children, we thank him so much for the sponsorship. So we're holding at Amar Rabbi Abba. The first thing we're going to finish discussing, started yesterday, the inyan of Lecha Mishnah. So we spoke a little bit yesterday about Lecha Mishnah when it comes to the Seder night. We're going to talk a little bit more about how to be Botzeya, the Lecha Mishnah, how to cut the bread when it comes to Lecha Mishnah. We're going to raise the concept that in general we try to do mitzvahs. When you do a mitzvah with something, you try to do other mitzvahs with that same item. That whole v'savva mitzvah chada, navva mitzvah achriti. Then on today's daf, we're going to discuss the importance of having salt at the table, and that's going to lead into a little discussion about what you're allowed to say in between your netilas yadayim and amotzi. How much talking, because you're generally only allowed to talk litzorech, the food. So how important is salt? And that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of other healthy eating habits, things that are healthy to do in terms of eating a meal. And the Gemara is also going to discuss, or the Mishnah is going to discuss, the difference between the bracha of Bar Pri Adama and Bar Pri Eitz, which one works for the opposite one. Does Bar Pri Eitz work for vegetables? Does Bar Pri Adama work for fruits? And that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion when we have to be magdir. What's a fruit and what's a vegetable? What's a Eitz? What's a Adama? The Gemara is going to get into a discussion of what the Eitz Hadas was. What kind of fruit was that? And are all of them actually fruits? All the possibilities of what the Eitz Hadas was, are they actually fruits? On Amud Beis, we're going to get a little bit into the discussion of the bracha of Shakol. Does it really work for everything? What about for wine? What about for bread? The Gemara is going to have a discussion of the text of a bracha, shame and malchus. Is it critical that every bracha has shame and malchus? Can you have just shame without malchus? Can you have neither? Can you just change the text of a bracha entirely and just say something nice about Hashem before you eat your food? Is that going to work as well? And the Mishnah is going to discuss it on base, the notion that we do not recite a bracha on a min klala, on something that its very existence is a bad sign. So you may be enjoying it somewhat right now, but its very existence is a bad sign. So let's begin. 7 lines on the bottom of the page. Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Abba, b'Shabbos chayev adam l'tzora al shtei kikaros. On Shabbos, a person is supposed to have 2 loaves of bread. My time. Why? Lecha Mishnah k'siv. Because the pasuk says Lecha Mishnah. Last week's parsha. Amar Rav Ashi chazin le Rav Kahana that I saw Rav Kahana denokatarti that he ubatzachada that he would hold 2 loaves of bread when he would say his hamotzi, but then he would only cut into one of those loaves of bread. So the next line of Gemara is not abundantly clear whether that's a machlokes with what we're about to say argues on what we just said, or it's a totally separate statement. Rabbi Zeira have a batza akula sheirusa. Rabbi Zeira would be botzea. He'd cut the bread for the entirety or the entirety of the bread. So what does that mean? So Rashi says, Prusa gedola shayidaylo the kolasud b'Shabbos. Normally, you'd cut off a little slice, and that would be what you eat. But Rabbi Zeira would cut off such a large chunk of bread that it would be enough to supply him through the entire meal on Shabbos. So that's what he would do. So Amar le Ravina Ravashi v'kamischasi karaftenusa. So Ravina says, Ravashi, that looks gluttonous. That's not a derech eretz. You're supposed to cut a small piece. Don't cut as much as you're going to need for the entire meal all at one time. So I'm like, even the kol yom lo kavod achi v'ina kavod lo mischasi karaf. No, since he never behaves that way, and it's obvious that he's only doing this at his Suda Shabbos, it's clear this is Mishum Chavivas HaMitzvah, because of the love of the Suda Shabbos. This has nothing to do with Rav Tanusa. That is how Rashi understands this Sugya. The Rashba says, no, Batza Kula Shirusa means that he would take both loaves of bread and cut them both. He would cut both challahs at the Suda Shabbos. He wouldn't only cut one, meaning he's disagreeing with the previous line where we said that Rav Kahana was Nakat Tarti Ubatza Chal. But rather, Rabbi Zeira would cut both loaves of bread. In fact, the Gra says, based on that Rashba, we can understand the Zohar, because the Zohar says that a person is supposed to have 12 challahs, 12 loaves of bread for Shabbos. But where does that come from? Pasuk says, Lecha Mishnah. The Gemara says, 2 loaves. Where does 12 loaves come from? So by some of the Rebbes, they have. They have like a big challah and a bunch of small challah rolls around it to have 12 loaves based on that Zohar. But the Gra says, that's not what it means. You're supposed to have 3 meals on Shabbos. Each meal you have Lecha Mishnah, so that's 6. But if you're batal kula sherusa, if you cut each loaf into half, so then you're going to have 12. So that's how we're mekayim the divrei azohar. The Graz Yisod, that the Kabbalah never argues on the halacha. You just have to figure out how they what the Kabbalah means in order to figure out how it fits with the halacha. Rabbi Rabasi kevam mishrami lu rifta de ruva. When Rabbi Rabasi would have the loaf of bread that they would use for the eruv that they made on Erev Shabbos, so the halacha is you're allowed to eat that eruv. There's a shita of the ra'ah that if you eat from the eruv on Shabbos, it's going to be mevatel the eruv. So it has to be that this story happened on some other Shabbos, but the pashtus is that now you're designating the food and you're allowed to eat from it on Shabbos. According to the Rai, you may say it's an Erev Tchumen or something like that. But anyway, when they had the box of matzahs for the Erev, they would dafka use it for Suda Shabbos. Rav Shachter told us that there used to be a guy in Washington Heights that would go, meaning the Erev is owned jointly by the entire community. Everyone owns that box of matzahs. So there used to be a guy and he'd go claim it every Shabbos. He would go, and they'd have to make a new Erev every week, because he'd go claim his box of matzahs. Maybe he learned this Gemara that he thought that once they did one mitzvah with it, so he wanted to make a motzi on it. So Amri hold this have be mitzvah chada, nav be mitzvah achriti. He said once we do one mitzvah with it, might as well do another mitzvah with it. That notion does come up in other areas of halacha. Rav Yosef Engel and Golioni Ashas quotes a Marivayil that you should use your lulavim to heat up the oven to bake your matzahs, because once you did the mitzvah of lulav with it, so I keep it around until Pesach time, when it comes time to bake the matzahs, so you do the mitzvah of baking the matzahs with it as well. He quotes that other achronim suggest that a person is supposed to take torn tzitzis strings and use them as bookmarks and svarim. Hal v'savba mitzvah chada, so you do mitzvah achriti with it. The Ma'arik, in the Tashbitz rather, he says that it could be that when you have an erusin and a chasima saksuba that happen all at one time, maybe you should have the same edim on the kiddushin that you have on the ksuba, and that way it's going to be, is because you're the same people that you're doing the mitzvah with, you're going to do the other mitzvah with as well. Amarav, Tolbruch, in terms of what you're allowed to say after washing, before the actual hamotzi, so generally speaking, once you say a bracha, you have to eat right away, you're not allowed to speak between a bracha and a achila. And if you do speak, it's a hefsik, you're going to have to go and recite the bracha again. But if it's lutzorech the bracha, then you're not chozer mavarik. You don't have to repeat the bracha. Even something that's l'tzorech achilas, the first prusa, is considered tzorech habracha. You wouldn't have to go. But the Rambam writes, a sicha that's not l'tzorech this prusa, it's l'tzorech other su'uda matters, that's not called tzorech habracha, that you're going to have to be chozer mevarech. That's what the Rambam writes in the first paragraph of Hilchos Brachos. So you can't just say things about, you know, get the chrein for the gefilte fish. No, the gefilte fish, that's for later. Right now, you're having the challah. The Ramah points out the Beis Yosef rather points out that a lot of the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, and the Ramah points out that even if you do have the ability to speak after the bracha, you should do it, meaning if necessary, and you're not going to be able to move on. We're just saying you're not going to have to be chozer mevarich, but it's certainly not the thing to do. It's not something that a person is supposed to do. So we have machlok samurayim, what type of speech is considered tzorech habracha. So Amarav, Tolbruch. This isn't only Tomei you did in Tila Sidayim. It's Tomei you said a bracha of hamotzi already. And before you eat from the hamotzi, you say Tolbruch. You tell everyone to take a piece of challah. Say no tzorech levarich. That's considered the tzorech lebracha, and therefore you're not going to have to repeat the bracha. Have a melech, have a liftan. But if you say bring some salt onto the table, bring some liftan, that goes with some dips, so tzorech levarich, then you do. Then you will have to repeat the bracha, because that's not considered the tzorech habracha. You could eat a slice of challah without having melech, without having liftan. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Aviyu Melech Aviyu Liftan Nami in a tzorech levarich. Then no, even saying bring salt and bring liftan, that's also considered the tzorech lebracha, because that's the way you like to eat your challah. Gabel Lesorei. But if you say, you know what, prepare food for the animal, so then tzorech levarich. If that's a hefsek, that you're going to have to say another bracha if you're busy talking about preparing food for the animal. The Achronim are bothered why in each of these cases, Tolbruch, Have Melech, Have Liftan, Gavel Lesori. Why is everything said twice? Why can't it just be that you say it once in all the stages? The Gemara says that you repeat the phrase. So in the Sefer Chodesh Ha'aviv, he says that it's telling us that even though you could have said it just once, but even saying it twice is not a hefsik, because that's the way people talk. Since people tend to repeat things, so you don't have to minimize your words to exactly the bare minimum. Other Achronim say that no, the whole point is that normally the shir of a hefsik is Kadei She'elas Talmud the Rav, Shalom Alecha Rabbi Amori. So we're trying to make it at least four words, or Shalom Alecha Rabbi, it's Machlokas. So we're trying to make it at least four words to show that this is a sheer hefsik, that this is long enough to generally create a hefsik, but if it's a tzarech lebracha, it's still not going to be a hefsik. Rav Sheshes Amar, Afilu Gavel Lesari Nami, and a tzarech lebracha. Rav Sheshes, a great chiddush, that even if you say prepared food for the animal, you're still not going to have to repeat. Tam Rav Yidam Rav, Asalad M'shiochel Kodim Shitin Machal Behemto, person's not allowed to eat before he prepares, before he gives food to his animal. Shenemar, V'nasati Yesu B'sach L'Vemtecha, V'hadar V'yachalta V'savata. At first it says, V'nasati Yesu B'sach L'Vemtecha, it's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but then V'yachalta V'savata. So when a person speaks, L'tzorech Achilas his behema, L'tzorech his animal eating, that's considered necessary for him to eat, because he can't eat until the animal eats. There is a discussion in the Achronim, what the basis of this halacha is. Is it that it's upsetting to the animal? It's Sar Balechayim, that's the Pashtus. The animal's going to see you eat, and the animal is hungry. Or maybe it's about being melamed the person, basic derech eretz, like we had Alkan Tzibur Yagir Rachamecha, that you're not allowed to say that that's the reason for the... But it's not because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is having Rachmanos on the Kan Tzibur, but the Rambam writes it's because we're supposed to learn Rachmanos. That's okay to say that our Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving us halachos that train us in the Midas HaRachmanos. So maybe over here also that it's about training us that we shouldn't be comfortable eating before we've taken care of all of those who need taking care of before us. Nafkamina would be, what if the animal doesn't see you? So I don't have many pets, but I have fish. So the fish don't see me eating. So is that in Indian that I have to feed the fish because fish die with too much food, right? Fish don't drown in water; they drown in food. But is that something that I have to be careful about? The fish don't see me. I don't think they see me eating, right? So they don't see me eating. But at the same time, maybe it's about basic derech eretz. It's about training yourself in terms of taking care of those who rely on you. Other achronim point out, and therefore kal v'chomer your children. Meaning, if this is true of your pets, right, that they rely on you, so your children also rely on you. So as far as the Tzar Bali Chaim, it wouldn't be such an Indian with the children, because adrabah, they should learn to respect their parents, and that the parents come before the children. But if it's as far as taking care of all those who rely on you before you eat yourself, so then feeding the children l'chora would be required as well. There is a sefer, a small kuntras that was printed, I don't know, about like 100, 150 years ago, called Omer Hashichicha, not with an ayin, Omer with an aleph, and it goes through all of the halachos that appear beferish in the Gemara, and somehow either the Rambam, the Rif, or the Shulchan Aruch left it out. So in Omer Hashichicha, he has this halacha as one of the, he says that the Rif and the Rosh quote this din, that you're not allowed to eat before you give to your animal, but for some reason it's left out of Shulchan Aruch. So Magen Avraham fills it in, the Magen Avraham on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, but it's not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch itself. Unclear exactly, he says, Lo Yadana Tam Hashmata. I don't know why the Shulchan Aruch, it seems like a Beferish Halacha. Okay, Amar Rav Bar Shmuel Mishum Rav Chia, Eino Botzei Rashi L'Tzua Adji Aviyu Melech O Liftan Lifnei Kalechad Ve'echad. You shouldn't say your Amotzi until everyone has salt in front of them, or Liftan, or some sort of dip in front of them, because that's necessary for the Amotzi. So Rav Bar Shmuel Likle Be'Resh Kulusa Afikulei Rifta. Rav Bar Shmuel visited the Resh Kulusa, they brought him bread U'Batzal Lehedya, and he just right away broke the bread. So Amalei Hadamar Mishmaite, wait, Rav Bar Shmuel, did you change your mind? You're the one that said you have to wait until everyone has melech or lifton in front of them. So I'm a little less than Tzarech B'shash. He says, no, this type of bread doesn't need waiting. The reason why you need to wait for melech or lifton is normally the bread is very coarse and you need something to help it go down. But the kind of bread they're serving here, ooh, this is the best kind of bread, and therefore you don't need to wait for anything. So Tosus points out that Anu Ein Anu, in the middle of Tosdi B'Ramas Chalavei Melech, he says, Anu Ein Anu Regilim Lavi Al HaShulchan Lo Melech Lo Lifton Mishum Depasha Lanu Chashuv. He says, we don't bring melech v'lifton to the table because our bread is very chashuv, so hareyu ki adam b'samach less than tzarech b'shash. Mihu, however, Tosa says, Rabbi Menachem medaktik ma'od lavi melech al shulchan. That Rabbi Menachem, the Bala Tosus, was very careful to bring salt to the table. Why? Kedisa medrash kashi sol yoshan al shulchan mamtinin ze eze ashi yitlu yudeyem vehin below mitzvos. That what's going to happen? Everyone washed their hands. No one's talking, so there's no talking and learning. There's no mitzvos going on. And normally,
around the table. I would have said, you know, that's the perfect. There's no lashon hara. There's no rechilus. No. But Tosfos says no. When Jews are talking, it's good. When tzaddikim are talking, they're talking and learning. But now they're quiet, so it's so we're empty from mitzvos. So asotan mekachig aleim or bris melech megin aleim, and that's the bris melech, the covenant of the salt, is what protects us. So shulchan domel mizbeach, we remind ourselves of the melech on the mizbeach, and we bring salt to the table for that reason. There's a fascinating discussion in one of the achronim, one of the tshuva svarim. He brings the issue whether sugar does the same trick, or it's dafka works with salt. In the sefer, in the tshuva's Torah Lashma, Simen Tav Kuf, he says maybe sugar is just as good, because the sefer Alachas Ketanos writes that the reason for melichas hakarbanos with melach is because melach is a davar mekayim, it's a preservative. So anything that could serve as a preservative would be good. And he says sugar is also a pretty reasonably good preservative. And he says, therefore, maybe if you don't have salt, sugar is also good. He says, "I, you're going to tell me, what are you talking about? It's not at all like salt. It's a totally different taste. Salt is salty, sugar is sweet." He says, "You should know that the sugar cane has on the tips of it, it's salty, and a lot of times you can have one pomegranate that's very sweet and another one that's very tart, and they're both pomegranates." So he says, it's not a problem to say that sugar is actually salt on a certain for certain halachos. Not from a licha of basar, right? Because sugar certainly does not draw out the that you need for melicha, but maybe Lagabi this halacha, he says, and with that I'm yashiv the minhag that on Rosh Hashanah what people bring on their table is not salt, but I thought he'd say honey. He says sugar. People bring sugar on the table. Now honey happens to be a preservative, meaning if the point it happens to preserve things very. So the Gemara says in Masechta Bava Basra that the woman from the Beis Chashmonai committed suicide, and the guy wanted her to be his wife, so he preserved her in honey. He preserved her, right? I think the Gemara says like that. So honey happens to preserve things, human bodies and other things. So if it's so that maybe would be an explanation for that minhag of why we do away, why many people have the minhag to do away with the salt on Rosh Hashanah, and some like honey, so they just keep that minhag going until Bereshis, through Bereshis, or as long as they can keep it going. Okay, v'amar Rav Bar Shmuel mishum Rav Chiya, ein mei raglayim kalim ela b'yeshiva. If a person wants to totally empty his bladder when he goes to the bathroom, so he's got to sit down. Now that's really the opposite of what common sense would tell you and what anatomy would tell you. Normally, to empty the bladder, a man needs to be standing up. So the concern the Gemara has over here, and it's going to be evident in the next line of Gemara, is that if a person is standing and he's urinating not into a urinal but into a toilet, he's urinating onto hard ground, so it's going to start splattering all over the place. So he's going to try to urinate softly so it doesn't splatter, and because he's trying to hold back a little bit, he's not really going to empty his bladder. So Amrav Kana Ubafri Tichuach Afilu Ba'amida. So if you find yourself a toilet or a soft ground where it's not going to splatter, then it should be even Ba'amida. And if you can't find tichach, go in an elevated place and urinate down into some lower place, so even if it splatters, it won't hit you, so you're not going to be nervous about that. Another comment of Rav Bar Shmuel Mishmei D'Rabbi Chiya. Achar kol achilascha chol melach. Achar kol shliyascha seimayim v'yata nizok. After every meal, you should eat salt, and after everything you drink, you should drink water, and that will be the healthiest way to live. Tanina miyachi achar kol achilascha chol melach. Achar kol shliyascha seimayim v'yata nizok. Bryce says just like this. Tanya idach. Achol kol machol v'lo achol melach. Shasa kol mashkin v'lo shasa mayim. B'yom yidag min reich hapet. If you don't do this, if you don't eat salt after a meal, or drink water after drinking, then during the daytime you have to worry about bad breath. And at night, if this was a nighttime meal, then you have to worry about a certain type of illness that's called askra, aside from just the reyach hapeh. So the Rama writes that that's only by this whole halacha is only for the Rama and Simchat Kavayin writes this is only if you're eating foods that don't already contain salt and drinking drinks that don't already contain water. But since all of our foods contain salt and all of our drinks contain water, so there's no we don't have this halacha anymore that we're required to eat salt and drink water after our meal. The Magen Avraham says the halacha would apply. It's just nishtanu ativim that this is not a healthy eating practice anymore for whatever reason. Nature has changed. That's what the Magen Avraham suggests. Tan Rabbanan. If a person soaks his food in water, it doesn't mean he literally soaks food in water. It means he drinks a lot of water as he's eating. That's good for the stomach. What should the ratio be? A keton of mayim, they knew what that size was, whatever it is, for pas. They also had a standard size of pas. So they knew, the Gemara knew what it was talking about. But there is some ratio of the proper amount of water for the amount of solid food that you're eating. Person eats lentils once every 30 days, monea askara mitoch peso. He will prevent this disease called askara. I will call yom alo, but to eat it every day is not a good idea. My time is from the kashal le'reach hapeh, because that's bad for re'ach hapeh. V'amar Rav Mari, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, haragil b'chardolach shoshim yom. Person eats mustard once every 30 days, monea chaloi mitoch peso. That will also be very healthy and it will prevent certain illnesses. I will call yom alo, but not every day. My time is from the kashal le'chul shodaliva, because that will weaken his heart. If a person eats small fish, it will be good for the stomach. It's extremely healthy to eat small fish. So have a lot of sushi, and that will be that will be good for a person. It's not really sushi. It sounds like it's sushi comes from big fish, but right, salmon is a pretty big fish. But I think it means like these small fish that apparently were very healthy to eat. But most of what we're talking about is there are a lot of things that are healthy in small measure, but if you overdo it, then it becomes unhealthy. If a person eats ketzach, then it's not going to, it will prevent him from heart problems. Wait a second, ketzach is something that's 1/60th one of the 60 medicines of death. It's a poison. And if a person sleeps on the eastern side of the Goren, of where they have the Ketzach, where they're processing the Ketzach, Domo Barosho, he's going to die, and it's his fault for dying, because he shouldn't sleep in such a place, because Ketzach is so damaging to a person. So what is it? Is it damaging, or is it something that it's Einu Bali De Ke'ev Leiv? Says Malo Kasha. Habarecho Habataimo. It depends how you ingest it. If you smell the Ketzach, that's very damaging. If you eat it, you taste it, then that's very good for you. Rabbi Yirmiyah's mother used to make him bread, and she would attach some ketzach to the bread, and then she would peel it off, so it absorbed the tam, but not the reyach, because she wanted him to have the tam, because that was very healthy, but not the reyach, because the reyach was very unhealthy. Then in the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Hey, we had a machlokas. If a person eats greenery, a person eats lettuce or things like that, leafy vegetables, what is the bracha? Is the bracha bari pri ha'adama, or is the bracha Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bori Mine Deshaim, that you get more specific, that not everything that grows on the ground is Hadama, you get more specific, you say Bori Mine Deshaim. So Amar Rabbi Zeir Vitema Rabbi Chinna Bar Papa Ein Alach Rabbi Yehuda. We do not pass on the Rabbi Yehuda, we get away with Bori Pri Hadama for everything that grows on the ground. But Amar Rabbi Zeir Vitema Rabbi Chinna Bar Papa, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda think Bori Mine Deshaim, that it gets its own bracha? Because Amar Kra, the Pasuk says in Tilim, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, that we bless Hashem every day. What? So is that really true? We only bless Hashem during the day and not at night? That each day you're supposed to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu brachos that are ra'oi for that day. So just like each day you have separate brachos for Shabbos and separate brachos for Yantav, and you change your Shemon Esrei, different brachos for each day. So HaChanami, kol min v'min tein lo mein berchosav, for each item that one is reciting a bracha on, the bracha should be as specific as possible. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, Bari Minei Deshaim, because that's a more specific bracha. The Rabbanan also agree that it's supposed to be specific, but you got to draw the line somewhere. You're not going to have a separate bracha for red peppers and for yellow peppers, right? So you're going to draw the line somewhere. So the Rabbanan draw the line at saying Bari Pri Adama, that's good enough, that we don't need a Bari Minei Deshaim as well. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates is very different than the way mankind operates. Midas Pasav Adam, Klei Reikon Machzik, Malei Eino Machzik. When it comes to Midas Pasav Adam, if you have an empty kli, so there's room in it, it can now hold hold things, but if you have a full kli, there's no room in it. It's not going to hold anything. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not that way. It's the opposite. Malei machzik, if one is already a chacham, he's full of chachma, so then he'll be able to learn so much more chachma. But Reikon, if he's an amaretz, he's a boor, he doesn't have any chachma, then eino machzik, then he's not going to be able to absorb more chachma. So the more chachma you have, the more it prepares you to achieve more chachma. Shneimar v'yomer im shamoa tishma. Pasuk says im shamoa tishma l'Hashem Elokecha. So the double lashon im shamoa, if you've already heard divrei Torah, then tishma, then you'll be able to hear more divrei Torah. V'im lavin, if you never heard divrei Torah, then lo tishma, then you're not going to be able to hear more divrei Torah. The Ben Yoyad explains that the Gemara is being mechalik within the human body itself. Midas pasuk v'dam means the physical body, that if your stomach is full, it won't be able to fit more into it. But Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu means the ruchniyus side of a person. That the more ruchniyus a person has in his life, the more he'll be able to absorb higher levels of ruchniyus. So a person who's malei biyira could be machzik more chachma. The kasha, the acronym, of course, ask is, so how do you get that first bit of chachma? Meaning if a person can only learn chachma if he's already a chacham, so how do you have that first bit of chachma? So two basic approaches. One is yiras Hashem, reishis chachma yiras Hashem, and the other is that the ruts for chachma is also chachma. So just a person wanting to learn, wanting to have chachma, that's the first kernel. And that's what opens him up to chachma, and then it starts building on itself, and it compounds. It builds exponentially when a person has chachma. It's not like you run out of space in your brain, like memory on your phone or something, where you know it's running out of space, and once you run out of that, that's it, it can't absorb more. No, the more you have, the more you're going to be able to absorb, the greater a person will be able to become. And it grows, the Torah grows tends to happen exponentially. Davar acher im shama b'yashin tishma b'chadash. That another interpretation of shama tishma is that if you chazer over what you've already learned, then it will open you up to new learning. Meaning when you go over things that you've learned before, so you'll notice new things about it. Plus, your future learning will be stronger because you'll have made a kinyan on your previous learning. You'll have a better grasp of the breadth of Torah. V'yimifna levavcha. But if you turn away from that which you've previously learned shuv. Then you're not going to be able to absorb as much learning in the future. Okay, new Mishnah. Now we discuss Bar Pri Adama and Bar Pri Eitz. Birach al Peiros Ilan Bar Pri Adama. If a person said Bar Pri Adama on fruit from a tree, Yatza. He's Yotze because it did come initially from the Adama. Al Peiros Aretz, Bar Pri Eitz. But if he says on a vegetable, Bar Pri Eitz, Lo Yatza. Then he's not Yotze, he's going to have to say a new bracha because Pri Eitz is not Shaykh to that which grows from the ground. Val Kula Mimamar Shakon Yabitvaro, Yatza. On anything, if you say Shakol Niyabidvaro, you're Yotzei. And even the Chachila, the Magen Avraham points out, if you don't know what bracha to recite on something, you can recite a Shakol Niyabidvaro. Obviously, Magen Avraham says, if you can eat a Petocha Seuda and avoid any stomach brachos, better not to rely on that Shakol Niyabidvaro. But if you have only one item in front of you and you don't know what bracha to say on it, so Shakol is like a catch-all bracha. So, Man Tana Dikar Ilan Arihi, who's the Tana that says that the Ikar of the Ilan is of the tree, is the ground, and therefore Bar Pri Adama would work on Perosi Ilan, some Rav Nachman Yitzchak Rabbi Yudi. That's Shitas Rabbi Yudi, it's not. Because we have a Mishnah Maseches Bikurim that tells us that when a person brings his Bikurim, so after he takes the fruit, Yavesh HaMayan, the Mayan, the spring of water that nourished his trees, has dried up. Or Niktas Ilan, maybe the tree itself has been cut down by the time he's bringing his Bikurim. Maybe Ve'eino Kore. You bring the Bikurim, but you can't be Kore the Parsha of Bikurim. The Parsha of Bikurim, you're supposed to say, but if the Mayan or the tree is gone, so the Adam is not there anymore. But Rabbi Yudomer, maybe Kore. Yudin says, no, the ground is still there. So you can still say that the Adama is still there. So you see that the basis from Yudin is that the Ikar of the Sada is the Adama. So the peros that grow on a tree really come from the Kalach of the Adama. And that's why Rabbi Yudin would say that if you say a Bar Pri Adama on a fruit, that counts, because that's the Ikar of where the fruit comes from. Al Peros Ha'aretz, we then said in the Mishnah that if you say a Bar Pri Eitz on Peros Ha'aretz, you're not Yotze. So says Mar Pshita, of course you're not Yotze. It has nothing to do with what you're eating. So Rav Nachman Now this is assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that wheat is considered min ilan. Where do we find wheat is considered min ilan? Tanya, ilan sha'acha mimenu adam arishon. What was the Eitz Hadas? Rameir omer gefen hayu. Rameir says it was a grapevine. How does he know? She'en l'cha davar she'mevi yolala ala adam ele yayin. That there's nothing that causes more crying and more heartache for a person than wine. She'namar, because the pasuk says after Noach left the teva and he planted a vineyard, vayesh min yayin vayishkar, and he got drunk, and through that wine he was led to absolute bizayon. So since through the chet adam arishon all of the bad things misa came liolam, it makes most sense that misa and bechia and yolala came about through wine, because the wine is what causes a lot of trouble. Rabbi Nechemia Omer te'ena ha'isa. No, it was a fig tree. Shabadavshin skalklu bo niskanu. Because sometimes the very thing that we stumble with, that from there can come our tikkun. Meaning that's the way things are in life. There aren't things that are good and things that are bad. Almost everything can be used for both good and bad. So that's symbolic that the te'ena was, yes, that was the chet, but the te'ena was also the tikkun, because it was the fig leaves from which they made their clothing to cover up their nakedness. Shenemar, pasuk says, ve'yitbru alei te'ena. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, a third shita, chita hisa, that it was wheat. She'ena tinok yodea likros abba v'ima atchitom tam dagan. Because a child only knows, only has das, it was neitz hadas. He only has the das to be able to speak, to be able to say abba and ima, once he's at an age where he's able to digest the tam of dagan. The Taurus Chaim in Masech Sanhedrin says, it can't be that he ate wheat, because that's not edible. And the pasuk says, "Vateri isha kitova etzel machol v'kitava hule enayim." The woman saw him eating. She said, "Wow, that looks delicious." He was eating wheat kernels, and she said, "That looks delicious." So he says, "It must be that it grew differently. That it already grew as fully processed bread, and then maybe part of the klala afterwards was that we had to that's the klala that we have to work the field. We only have to work the field. We didn't have to work the field before because it grew as fully processed bread." Okay, salka that. So I might think that since he holds that chita is a min ilan, you say bar pri eitz. So kamash milan hechem brachim bar pri eitz hechem chishakalta lelepirei. He says the gavz of hadam mafik. That when do you say bar pri eitz? Only on those things that if you take the fruit off of the tree, that same branch will grow more fruit in the future. Hechem chishakalta lelepirei. Let's say the gavz of hadam mafik. Lo mevrachim lele bar pri eitz ele bar pri adama. But if you have a tree, even if it looks like a big tall tree, like a banana tree, but when you pull off the fruits, the branch is just going to dry up and it's not going to produce more fruits, then it becomes a bar priya adam. It's not a bar priya eitz. Val kula nimamar shahakol. And if you say shahakol and anything, that works. So yid maravuna amar chutz mina pas mina yayin, rabbi yochan amar filu pas bi yayin. A machlokas does shahakol work on bread and wine as well? So it says my name of katanoim. Maybe that's a machlokas tanoim. Ra pas. Let's say a person sees bread. Va'amar kamana pasu. Baruch hamakom shabra. What delicious looking bread. Blessed is Hashem who created such wonderful bread. So yatza, that he's yotze the bracha. He doesn't have to say a bracha anymore. Ra te'ena, if he sees a fig, va'amar kamana te'ena zu, baruch hamakom shabra, yatza. Divra meir, that's from Meir Shita. Rabbi Yossi amar kol mishan mepeh, shtav v'cham mibrachos, le'yatzi de'chavasa. You cannot change the text of a bracha, and if you did, you're not yotze the bracha at all. Ooh, so neima, Rav Huna da'amar, Rabbi Yossi. Rav Huna says that you cannot say shahakol on bread and wine. Maybe he's assuming like Rabbi Yossi that you can't change the text of a bracha. Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan says that you can say shahakol on bread and wine. Kremeir, assumes like Kremeir, that you could change the text of a bracha. You could say kamana. So shahakol is as good as kamana. So Amalek Rav Huna, Tosfos points out it's not exactly equivalent, because everyone holds shahakol works on, you know, bar mina mizonos things, on bar pri adama things. So okay, it's a problem. But that's how the Gemara is trying to align it. So Amalek Rav Huna, another Amri Afilu Rameir. No, Rav Huna would say, when I tell you that on pas and yayin you're not yotze the shahakol, I think even Rameir would agree with me, because I'd come along Rameir. Also, Rameir only says that kamana pas is good enough elecha to kamat kashmei de pas, because at least you mentioned that it's bread. Avalecha to lo kamat kashmei de pas. Afilu Rameir moda, but Rameir would be moda that shakol niyab devaro does not mention the word bread at all, and therefore you're not yotze. Rabbi Yochanan Amar lach anadamri afilu Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Yochanan would say, when I tell you that you are yotze with shahakol on bread
and wine, I think even Rabbi Yossi would agree to me. Because I'd come to Rabbi Yossi, Asam Elamishim, the Kamar, Bracha, Dol, Tekin, Rabbanon. Why did Rabbi Yossi have a problem saying, Kamana Epazu? Because the Rabbanon were never misaking that as a Nusach of a Bracha. But guess what? Shakol Niebid Varo is an actual Tikkun Chachamim. The Rabbanon made such a Bracha. Avalomer, Shakol Niebid Varo, the Tekin, Rabbanon, Afil Rabbi Yossi Moda, even Rabbi Yossi would be Moda, that is going to work. Binyamin Raya, Karach Rifta, Vamar Brich Mari Dai Pita. Binyamin Raya used to make himself a sandwich. He used to wrap bread. He'd make himself a wrap, and he would say that form of a bracha, not an actual takana of the chum formulated, but he would say Brich Mari Dai Pita. Amarav Yotze, and Rav says he's Yotze with that. So Vamarav called Brach Shein Glaskar says Shem in a bracha. What do you mean? He didn't even say Shem Hashem. So Damar Brich Rachmana Mari Dai Pita. He must have added Rachmana, that he did refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vabina Shalosh Brachos. But over here, we're not talking about Bracha Rishona. This is Brich Samazon. Don't you need three full Brachos? So my Yotze to come Rav Nami, Yotze de Bracha Rishona. Now, he's only Yotze the Bracha of Hazan with that formulation. But in a Chinami, he's still going to require the other Brachos of Brich Samazon. So my Kamash Malan, what's Rav coming to tell me when he says Binyamin Raya was Yotze Yischiyuv by saying Brich Rachmana Mari Dahai Pita? So Alf Gav Da Amara B'Lashon Chol. It's that even though he said it in a Lashon Chol, he said it not in Hebrew. So Tanina, but we already know that. It's a Mishnah in Sota. Ve'elin Amar Mekal Lashon. The following things can be said in any language. Parsha Sota, Vidoy Meiser, Kriya Shema, Tfila, Ubir Chasamazon. That benching can be said in any language. So what's the Chiddush of Binyamin Raya being allowed to say in Aramaic? So Yisrich, Salka Dait Chamina from the Mishnah and Sota, I would learn that you can translate, but you have to actually translate word for word into another language. But if you're just going to say Brich Rachmana Mari Dai Pita, that is not a translation of the Brich Samazon. So I would think that does not work. That's the Chiddush of Rav, that Binyamin Raya was Yotze the Bracha anyway. Gufa Amrav called Bracha Shein Ba'Askaras Hashem in a Bracha. Any bracha that does not mention Hashem's name is not a valid bracha. Rabbi Yochanan called bracha shein, but malchus ain't a bracha. If it doesn't mention malchus, you have to say okay, melech ha'olam. You know, otherwise, it's not going to be a bracha. Amra bayi kavasi drav mistavra. The time, you know, it's more mistavra like Rav because the Brisa tells us when it comes to biur maestros that after the biur you have to say a vidur maestros and you say lo avarti mimitzvosecha velo shachachti. So what exactly are you confessing to, or what exactly are you saying? Lo avarti means milavarecha, that I remembered to say the bracha that you were masaking on the Birch Samitzvah on Maisos. V'lo Shechachti, Mila Haskir Shimcha Alav. And Lo Shechachti means, I didn't forget to mention Shem Hashem in the Bracha. V'lo Malchus Lo Katani. But nowhere in there does it say, and I didn't forget to say Malchus. So you see, all you need is Shem, you don't necessarily need Malchus to be able to say the Bracha. The Tzlach points out that this is obviously not a real Drasha, because the whole din of a Birch Samitzvah and any Bracha, other than Birch Samazon and Birch Satorah, is not the Oraisa. Right? We learned on Daf Chavalef, the sources for Birch Samazon and Birch Satorah being Daraisa, but every other bracha is only Darabanan, right? Where does Bracha Rishona come from? We learn Daf Lamanei that it's a Svara, that it's Asalanus Minol Mazeh below Bracha. So clearly this is just an Asmachta. Rabbi Yochanan Tani Velo Shechachti Melaskir Shimcha Umalchus Chalav. And Rabbi Yochanan would say, just alter the drasha a little bit. Lo Shechachti means that I didn't forget Shame and Malchus, not just Shame. Malchus is also critical. Says Gemara, Val Davar Shein Gedulah Min Aretz Omer Shakol Nibedvaru. That which does not grow from the Mishnah, rather. Val Davar Shein Gedulah Min Aretz Omer Shakol Nibedvaru. That which does not grow from the ground, you say Shahakol. Ala Chometz, Vala Novlos, Vala Govai, Omer Shakol Nibedvaru. Wine that is turned into vinegar, peros that have been ruined by the heat, or grasshoppers, you say Shakol Nibedvaru. Rabbi Yudah Omer Kolshu Min Klala Ein Mavarchim Elav. That you don't say a brach on something that's a Min Klala. So it's Machlokes Rishonim, which of these items are Min Klala, but they're all possibilities, right? Grasshoppers generally are bad for the crops, and wine that has soured and turned into vinegar is bad, and fruit that has been dried up by the sun, it's bad. So these are all min klala. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want his name associated with klala. In fact, I think in the Urim V'Tumim in Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, he points out that maybe that's why there's no bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah. That the Rashba writes in the Tshuva, why is there no bracha on tzedakah? So the Rashba says because the ani may not be makabel, so it's not biyad chalasos. But the Achronim point out that the Rishonim about bothered by the same thing with Kiddushin, and we say a bracha of Kiddushin, but the woman might run away. So what do? We say the bracha, well, we don't do this, but the Rishonim suggest, say the bracha after the Maisa Kiddushin. So shouldn't you just give the tzedakah and then say the bracha? So that's what the Tumim says. No, it's a different reason. It's nothing to do with the fact that it's not Bial Kalasos. It's because the very fact that someone needs tzedakah is a klala, and of course, bracha doesn't want bracha associated with klala. If among the different foods you're interested in eating, you have shivas haminim, so Allah mevarich, you say the bracha on the shivas haminim. The Chacham say, no, whatever you want to say the bracha on first is fine. That which doesn't grow from the ground, like meat, you say shakal. And on milk and eggs and cheese, also shakal. And if you have bread that has become moldy, or wine that's beginning to sour, or a cooked food that's also turning sour, omer shakal. You say a shakal ala melech velazamis, if on salt or on brine, al kamein upitrios, and on mushrooms, omer shakal. The person says shakal. Lemeimut kamein upitrios, lav gidul karka ninu. Wait, are you telling me that mushrooms are not gidul karka? Vatanya anoder mi peros haaretz asum peros haaretz umutubu kamein upitrios. If you take a neder against peros haaretz, you're not going to be peros haaretz. You're allowed to have kamein upitrios. Imamar kol gidul karka alai, asraf be kamein upitrios. But if you say gidul karka, you're not allowed to have kamein upitrios. So you see, they are gidul karka. Samar abayi mir. They grow from the ground, but that's not where they're getting their nourishment. Their nourishment is coming from the air, from the moist air. But doesn't it say so? Anything that's not yonek mina aretz gets a shakol niyabedvaro. And kameinu pitrios, while they are gadol mina aretz, not yonek mina aretz, they're yonek from the avir. I remember Chavrusa telling me that one summer in camp, his wife said, "This has to be our we got to get a change in where we're staying," because they had a carpet in their cabin and there were mushrooms all over the carpet. So it's yonek from the avir, even though normally it's gadol min haaretz as well. Okay, mm-hmm. Beis Hashem, we'll pick up with Al Anovlos tomorrow. All right, cool.